Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sam and Greg's here for another hour or so. I wasn't sure if I was going to just jump in with good morning, Georgia.
See, that's morning.
That's why I wasn't sure. You're going to give the intro first. Hey, two things. One is, how long have I been saying shout out Lost Mountain? I mean, anytime you or any other guest comes on this show and mentions McEachern High School athletics.
Yep, you do that.
I mean, for years, right?
For a long time.
Yeah. How come I ain't got no McEachern High School swag yet? I mean.
Well, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, y'all need to, like,
and everybody.
Because I'm sitting here looking at you in your Julio jersey. You look good in it, by the way. But I was walking through Publix the other day out here, and I saw they had like a little stand there with a bunch of McEachern T-shirts and shorts and gift things, you know, for folks. And I'm like, hang on a second,
man. We're called. Coach. We're called. I don't know what they're wearing. I don't know what they're wearing these days. I don't know if they're wearing Under Armour, but you know,
man, just
back
give
in the day,
get a brother double XT.
I'm just saying. You know, you have people wearing, you know, different gear, be it, you know, Under or Adidas,
right?
Or Nike.
I don't want that.
Back in the day, McEachern coaches. Stuff was Tommy Hilfiger.
Okay, so well, I wasn't going for all that.
Quiet when I say that. Why'd you?
I don't need designer stuff.
Different. That's just what they wore.
That was
the polo. It wasn't Champ. It wasn't Champion, Russell, or you know, or anything else. You know, that's you know. So I'm just saying. That's been a few years back. They're not wearing it now.
That's fine.
I think they're an Under Armour.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
You keep shouting out Lost
That's
Mountain.
That's what you want, though, right? Yeah.
Lost Mountain. You near Harrison more than McEachern.
Well, but this whole area is kind of I got that too, and I got what you call it, Hillgrove too.
Hillgrove.
They're all out here, but I'm closest to McEachern.
Hillgrove is close by. Yeah.
Yeah. They're Hillgrove messed up a pine straw delivery.
You almost go East Paulding. You can almost go East Paulding.
Yeah.
Listen, almost. You're right there by the line.
I'll cut the grass at any one of those T-shirts. So just give me – I don't want any designer stuff. I just want a couple double extra large. You know, that's fine. By the way, too, that video is up on YouTube.
I know a Hillgrove parent.
Okay. Well, you get them and just ship them off to Greg.
Parent. His kids are graduated. I'll call – it's Chesley McNeil.
He's a
Hillgrove parent.
Okay. Anyway, I was saying Ken came on and we talked. And the World of Coca-Cola video is up. So you have one with World of Coca-Cola coming up, and mine. And
it does feature Greg dancing with the polar bear. So
see, I hadn't seen this thing in years, and I was like, "Jeez!"
You got to stay socially distanced from the polar bear. You got to stay socially distanced from.
Not you. No, me and him. We jitterbugged.
Rope in front of him.
We are out there dancing.
Well, you can't.
Anyway, you're breaking up, Mr. Crenshaw. I'm gonna keep talking here. Are you there?
I'm here, right here.
Oh, okay, you were breaking up there, and the delay was back in effect there.
Okay.
One of the things that we're going to get into in the next segment. By the way, good morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Forgot about that little side trip we just took there. But one of the things we had talked about earlier in the show, and we're going to get into with David Archer coming up at 8:20, is this Pee Wee League coach that smacked one of the kids upside the helmet. I won't say that. Sounds a lot less harsh when you say upside the helmet as opposed to the head. Or doesn't it?
Not once, but twice.
Yeah, okay. Well, he did that.
And the kid fell down.
And he did. And the ref stood there and watched it. And we gave our thoughts on it, but we wanted to give it to David Archer and give his thoughts on it because we all played youth sports. I'd imagine he played some peewee football before he got to Iowa State and, of course, to the league. But now as a parent and how things have changed and how we've watched people, how they get how teams are coached in 2020 as opposed to, you know, a couple decades ago. So we're going to talk to David Archer not only about that, but we're also going to talk about today's Falcons game. They're out on the West Coast, getting ready to take on the Chargers. Sam and I are going to go around the NFL and give our thoughts on some of the matchups for today and who's positioning themselves properly for the playoffs. And we spent some time, though, in the last hour talking a little bit about the Atlanta Hawks and how you feel like a lot of people are going to be pleasantly surprised, Sam, at not only the makeup of this team, but the acquisitions they've made so far in the offseason are really going to bring these guys to a level that heretofore they haven't been with, especially with Trae Young and a possible player coming out of the East. At least that's what you feel. We talked about this week. I don't know about coming out of the East, but making some noise there, yeah, I think this is a year could happen.
I think they'll come out of these to be the winner. I don't know, but they will be there. This is a playoff team. What it takes the makers of a playoff team. Clear said to us last hour, 61 rebounds. 61. That's cleaning up the boards, man. And I realize it's an exhibition game, and who goes to exhibition game, and no fans can go, and no media can go except for Steve Holman. He's the only person. Again today when they play later on today at 5 o'clock. They're going to play their second preseason game against Orlando Magic. Clint Capella, 14 rebounds, pulling down. And that's what you've been missing on the inside, a presence that's going to be in there to help John Collins. He's going to make some people rearrange some shots, things differently. When instead of coming down the middle with that easy shot, you're going to think twice about it. He's going to do some shot blocking. He's going to do a lot of different things that are going to set the table for this team to do well. The thing you want to see now, you only got 4 preseason games, and these guys haven't played a game, any type of organized game, Greg, since March 11th.
All right.
Since March 11th. And so, you know, the main thing is, you know, find out which fives work better together, you know, and which ones will be your first, who will be your second, who matches up in different situations. That takes time.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't instantly fall into place. And so that's the thing I like about this team. Another number that I am encouraged by from that game Friday night, it's just a preseason game, right, was Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish had 8 rebounds, 13 points. That's headed in the right direction. I would love to see him pick up where he left off. Seemed like he was just starting to figure the NBA game out. And maybe with some of these veterans coming in, he will learn from them, but also inspire him to work that hard and say, hey, don't forget about me with these new guys coming in. I got to get my playing time, too. Going to be real competitive. So I like what I see from him for the first game with all the new infusion of talent.
You also were talking about Chris Dunn and him, what to expect from this guy. In fact, Ray was talking about it, too. And, you know, the upbringing and where he came from and all of that. And just this is a spark that you feel is needed to not only just – catapult this team forward, moving forward, but in a way that heretofore hadn't been, because we're talking about defense now. This guy is a monster as far as defense. And this is something, again, which is another one of those components that you feel and others feel is going to make the Hawks players in a way that they weren't.
Every playoff team has to have that designated stopper. You know, you want to. I mean, that makes it better if you have that one guy late in the game. You say, you know what? Get on this guy, stay with him, shut him down, do what you can to deny him the basketball. That's what his purpose is here for this team, to strengthen the defense on the perimeter. We got some guys on the inside. We drafted some more size for the inside. So we're going to be better defensively underneath. But, man, you got to get in some people's faces, get some hands out there, get some loose balls, and just defend better on the perimeter. And that's what this team needs. We feel like this team's going to put points on the board. We feel like we're going to score. But you got to defend. You know, it's not no fun. You'll be the old Denver Nuggets if you're going up and down the floor scoring 150 points a game and whatnot. You know, you don't want to have to do that every night just to win. So you want some solid defense. I think he's going to bring that to us.
The two other stories that came out of the NBA this past week that made me shake my head was one. You kind of knew it was going to happen, but you know how I feel about Paul George. You're not winning nothing with him. You just aren't. And I'll Until he does it, I'm going to continue to feel that way. But the Clippers gave him a max contract, man, or added to his contract. He's going to get max money, 4 years, $190 million. He's now a Clipper. And good luck to him. I love me some Steve Ballmer. I think their window was there. I think it's closed now for at least a little while. I think with Golden State coming back. Now, mind you, yeah, Klay Thompson, he's going to be out again. And that's a detriment to this team. But the makeup of those championship teams isn't what's going to be in place for the next championship were they to get one. Because I just think that Steve Kerr understands. Listen, this was a guy who watched firsthand how Pop reshaped his team to win championships. He was a part of those Bulls teams. You know, you had the Horace Grants and the Bill Cartwrights were the first three, and then you had the Dennis Rodmans, and he was a part of those, and other components that won those last three. So I think there's going to be some changes made with this Clippers, with that Golden State team that's going to get them back to the top. I don't know what, you know, how long the Lakers are going to reign out West, but it's not going to be as easy a path. But I got a problem with Paul George. Anyway, that money happened this past week, and Kyrie Irving and his comments. Now, Sam, are you a fan of Kyrie? And I mean, from a show standpoint, he is good for us because he gives us stuff to talk about.
Yeah,
but he calls us punk.
I don't know if I want to see him play. I don't know if I want to see him playing here. But yeah, he's interesting.
What did you think of his comments? What did you think? What do you think of this Brooklyn team moving forward? And the chances of them, either them, Philly, or just him getting out of his spot was James Harden this past week. Talking to him, and he's still trying to get traded, and ain't going to happen with that contract of his. But just overall, what's going on out East?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the Nets have the makings of a player in the East this year, and surely they're going to be a factor. I think people are still watching Milwaukee, although everybody's watching Giannis because they're still working on a deal for him in Milwaukee. And a lot of people, you know, for a league that is so well documented and every game is televised, there's still this thing about big time players got to be in big markets. And I don't care for that. I mean, why do you have a team in Milwaukee if you don't want Milwaukee to have a player that could possibly win a championship? To me, it's ludicrous. It's ridiculous. But people still think that way. That's why some people think of Atlanta that way. You know, if you're a big-time player, you got to be in L.A. or New York or Boston. You can't be in another place. And so I'm hoping that the Bucks are able to hang on to him and that he does well where he is, although a lot of people think he's headed for the West Coast or something. His thing is that he's going to focus on playing and with his team and let his agents and whatnot work out the money. But that's a factor along with what you're talking about with the Nets. You're going to watch what happens with that team. They spend a lot of money. They put some players. The players have picked their coach who they want to have, Steve Nash, to come in there. And so we'll see what happens with them. Philadelphia has Doc in place. Can he pull that together and get that situation to live up to the expectations that people had for him? That's the other thing. We're seeing a team here in Orlando that's a team that could be a factor. And Miami, don't forget about them. As well in the East. Boston got some talent going away, but they still are pretty well stocked, and that's why we're looking at the Hawks at coming in. Will perform. But, yeah, the East will be interesting, but I still think the power is still out West right now.
Well, we're off here. I was going to ask you another question, get into something else, but I don't want to bring his name up. You had the nerve to send me a picture. Daddy Ball is writing a book? Oh. He's writing a book. I don't want to see that information because I definitely ain't buying it. But what else has he got to say? We are going to come back next, and we are going to talk to our own David Archer, get his thoughts on a couple topics that happened from this past week, but also obviously get into what's going on out West with the Falcons as they take on the Chargers today. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Back to Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Good morning, Georgia!
Morning.
Okay, we got Sam back. I apologize. That last segment, I didn't know if we were on or off, and it was all over the place, but I think we got everybody back and the wires are uncrossed. And we got a guy on right now. I got a bunch of questions for our own David Archer, who'll be on the call today with Wes Durham. The Falcons out in California taking on the Chargers, a team they should have no problems with, but we'll see. But before we get to the game, we want to talk to David Archer about a friend of his that we didn't know, Sam, until about a half hour ago, that he knew. And he's also from, this is the second Iowa State guest, Iowa State alum that we've had as a guest this morning. This is a first.
He's a friend of him, but he's a fellow that.
Well, he said he knew him.
Friends, but fellow alums. Well, he knew him, but he also said there are over 1,000 Iowa State alums in Metro Atlanta. Who knew?
Who? You know, yes, so that's right.
We call them the fighting. Well, who would know? Well, the guy we're talking to would know, right? Dave, you know how many alums you guys have in the area, right?
This is a good area for Iowa State people, and good to be with you guys, Sammy and Greg. It's always good to talk to you guys. Yeah, we've got a group of people that get together that play baseball, football, ran track at Iowa State that all live in the metro Atlanta area. And I'll go ahead and throw a plug out. Hudson Grill is a place where they get together.
And I've
done it a number of times. Gotten together with those people there in Sandy Springs. And we'll watch the Iowa State basketball, football games. So going to be a lot of fun this next weekend. A lot on the line for Iowa State this next weekend. We're all going to have fun with it.
Yeah, David, listen, because Sam watched me spit nails this past week, and I grew up in the Big Ten area. I'm married to a woman who is a Michigan fan, but I can't stand what's going on this year with the Big Ten and how they are just moving the goalposts for Ohio State to get a TV show, because this is all this is. This is all about a TV show that they want to put in place to get the money back that they've lost because of this season. So we're going to get the four best teams, or at least the four teams that can bring the most eyeballs for this playoff and this championship. That's the way I feel. I don't know. Am I off base by having that feeling?
No, there's a lot of people that are upset with the fact that they couldn't figure out what they want to do. You know, Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, was out in front of this thing for a long time saying, hey, we're not going to play. We're thinking the safety of our players. Then they realized, you know what, the other conferences decided to pump the brakes and kind of wait for this thing to settle and see if we could figure out a way to do it or doing the right thing. So we're going to come back and play because we're losing too much money. And then you had the thing with the players. The players couldn't come back until after 3 weeks. And then they changed that, and now they've changed how long it takes or how many games it takes to get back in the Big Ten championship game. So, yeah, they've been all over the map, guys. But it's been a weird year, so I guess you got to credit it. They lost their minds for 6 weeks or for, you know, 8 or 10 weeks.
I've lost Mr. Crenshaw. I'm not sure if he's back. Sam, you there? All right, well, I will forge on, because one of the other things that we talked about, David, during our show today was this situation that took place down by Savannah with this peewee football coach. You saw the video, and if you haven't, you need to check it out. But the way this coach disciplined this kid, it was caught on camera. We can go back and forth of the way things used to be as opposed to the way they now, but your thoughts when you saw that video, and as a parent, not just as a person who played football when you were a kid, as a parent when you saw that?
Well, it's hard to kind of swallow as a parent. Certainly, you're irate as a parent. Can you rationalize it? I've played back, Greg, back when, you know, the grabbing the face mask and all the different things were okay to do that. It's just unacceptable. I mean, you're trying to set an example as a coach. You're trying to set an example for young players and things like that. Yeah, you want to teach them about the game, but you just don't treat human beings. I think it's kind of that evolution that we've tried to make here with our social injustice and all the things that are going on to try to alleviate some of the ways we treat people. And whether it's a young person like that or whether it's a person that's an adult, just don't treat people with disrespect, because that in turn, you know, you're teaching you're setting a bad precedent. So I guess that's the easiest way to describe it. It's just unacceptable to treat anybody, I don't care how old they are, with disrespect.
David Archer joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. David's on the call, obviously, this afternoon. Falcons and Chargers with Wes Durham. Have we got Mr. Crenshaw back?
I'm right here.
Okay, go ahead, man.
Nope. You still got me? Sure. Yeah. Arch, Talk about this game today with the team, and no Julio, but what do we still expect? We still going to still put enough points on the board to keep up with this Chargers team and their young quarterback.
Yeah, that's really the trick here, isn't it, Sam? Their ability to put points on the board. And I don't know what happened. I look at the tape for the Charger game. They did some good things last week against New England. You know, they gave up two special teams touchdowns, but they got – that was a college score. They got to be 45-0. That never happens in the National Football League because that is not who they'd been the first 11 games. They've gotten really good performances by their young quarterback, as you mentioned, Justin Herbert, who's been far better than I thought he was going to be. They've got two of the best receivers in the league, and Williams and Keenan Allen on the outside. They've got a serviceable backfield that makes plays for them. I was just stunned at the way things unfolded for them. And they got a young defense that's flying around. This is a team that's ranked in the top 10 in total defense and total offense, yet they're 3-9. So it kind of goes to get you scratching your head a little bit, almost like you're an Atlanta fan where you're scratching your head going, how in the hell are we 4-8? When you look at some of the games Atlanta's lost, because you could make a very easy argument that this team should be no worse than 6-6 or maybe even 8-4, but that's not the case. So two talented teams, two teams that are trying to figure it out, whether it's try to score points, the Atlanta Falcons, or it's whether it's try to how to finish games if you're the LA Chargers. those are the two things that are kind of in play here. But scoring is the number one thing for Atlanta. Atlanta has not been able to crack the nut of the red zone, that Mercedes-Benz drive zone that we talk about on the Atlanta Falcon Radio Network. So that's really the trick here. If they can score touchdowns, they're going to get down there. They're going to move the ball. They're going to get down there. If they score touchdowns, then I like Atlanta's chances.
Again, Dave, how did Justin Herbert sneak up on everybody? I mean, you talk about he's better than what you thought. That's all I've been hearing all season long. You talked about the record of this team, but for whatever reason, this guy's play coming out of Oregon just sort of wasn't seen by a lot of the people. I think he was picked sixth overall, though, still. He's one of the top, still in the top 10. But what is it that he's done this year that you didn't see on the college level?
Well, he's highly regarded, certainly, Greg, coming out. So he did not sneak up on anybody. Like you said, he was drafted in the top 10 of the draft, but there was some question marks as to his competitiveness. There was some question marks about his leadership. There were also question marks about how accurate he was going to be when it was tight window throws. So whoever created those really screwy thoughts in all our minds that weren't sold on Justin Herbert, we need to go find that guy and smack him in the head because he was completely wrong about this kid. He's very competitive. He's been outstanding in games for him. The one thing, the only question mark you'll have for him, and some of these games they've lost, haven't been him on the field at the end, but he has been on the field at the end a few times to where they've lost some of these games. They've played in 10 one-score games, and they were 1-3 in games decided by three points or less. Is that all Justin Herbert's fault? No, obviously not. But there is something to that. But I can't answer why we all kind of slept on this kid. 6'6", you know, you got the old adage, anybody 6'6" or taller at quarterback doesn't necessarily translate to the National Football League. That's kind of that magic number. We've seen guys before that have come in at 6'6" or taller that aren't necessarily the prolific style quarterback. Well, this guy's bucking all of that. This guy's a really good player. All they've got to do is stay healthy and get some good coaching around him. He's going to be pretty good.
David Archer joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I apologize for the technical issues, David. I think we got Mr. Crenshaw back. Sam, it's all yours.
Yeah, I'm here. Got a question for Dave. Hey, look, this is the time of year when everything runs together. You're trying to prep for games. It's the holiday time. You got to be careful about who you come around. You know, usually you got people in and out of the house. Talk about how players are navigating this time of year, Dave, compared to years past.
Unprecedented, Sam. The inability to be around your loved ones, at least a good, you know, the expanded version of your loved ones. Talk to Matt Ryan about this, and they've really had to close the ranks. Matt's got a very big family. His mother and father are normally around all the time. You guys have seen him, Matt's dad is at every game. His mom comes to most of the games. He's got brothers and sisters. They've, and they're just one of an example. Of course, Matt's got two young boys, so you can imagine the grandparents, you know, want to be around their young children, but you know, they had to squelch that. They've had to kind of take that away. So it's been tough. It's really a microcosm of what everybody in the country probably is going through. But certainly with the NFL protocols of keeping people away from players, that's really created some problems to try to just kind of get a team on the field. Atlanta's done a pretty good job, guys. When you look around, they've had to close their building a couple times, but they have not been in dire straits like we've seen maybe four or five other teams in the league. So I give Atlanta a ton of credit. Rich McKay and all the protocols they put in place to keep this team on the field, give them a chance to play 16 games.
We've been spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with David Archer. He is social. You can find him on Twitter at ArcherQB16. At ArcherQB16 later today with Wester on the Falcons Radio Network here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Keys to a victory today. They're going to go out and get one today and bring one back from the West Coast, Dave. What must happen?
Well, we've talked about one, right? We've got to close drives. You got to finish drives, Sammy. It's one of those things where I love the way Atlanta's moved the football. What's the answer to that particular problem, the red zone woes? If I knew that, I'd probably be on the staff. And I can guarantee you that Dirk Cutter is an outstanding football coach. Been a good football coach for a long time. I know he's drawn the ire of a number of fans here in the city, but you know, you call 65 to 68 plays a game. That's pretty much what Atlanta's running. You're going to have some that don't work because the other side gets paid and they're get paid to stop you. And some of those aren't going to work out for you. But I think he's done a pretty good job. It's still a good offense. That's where it's going to have to happen on the offensive side of the ball. I expect us to move it. And now can you make sure that the quarterback doesn't buy time? This is a big quarterback that can get out. He can buy time. I think if you continue to play the way you've played defensively, and here's a couple stats for you, Sam. I know you guys have been talking about this on your show. This defense the last seven games has given up just 20 points per game, and teams are converting it 35% of the time. You go back to that 0-5 start, they're giving up 10 points less per game. They were giving up 30 points per game in the first five, and teams are converting it almost 44% of the time on third down. That number's come down 9%. This defense is playing winning football. So I would say defensively, just keep doing what you're doing. Offensively, go score the points that are available to you, and Atlanta should be fine in this game on the West Coast.
Dave, again, we always think when you come and join us, him. Have a great call today. David Archer joining us. He'll be on the call with West Durham, Falcons, and Chargers. Other than that, man, how's your holiday season going so far?
Everything's going okay. My wife's spending way too much money, you know, trying to take care of everybody. And it's one of these deals, guys, where it's a lot easier now. You don't have to get in the car and go to the mall. You can just go online, and it's killing me, man. I look at my credit card bill, and what the hell's going on?
Well, you know, welcome to the holidays, man. Welcome to the holidays. David, yeah, man, really. Listen, as always, we thank you for getting up and joining us. And have yourself a wonderful call today and a great day.
Thank you, fellas. Good job on what you guys do. Appreciate you. Keep breaking it down every Sunday. I'm going to miss not driving to the ballpark and listening to you guys. So it was good to get on with you so I could hear your voices. You guys do such a great job. Appreciate you, Greg. Sam, have a great holiday.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. At some point, is David still there? Oh, doggone it. We wanted to ask him at some point, will they mention Tommy Nobis during the broadcast? We had mentioned him today.
That's something that Dave's really good about bringing up, those quips of history and everything.
If he's still listening, David Archer, make a mention that everybody should take a second and remember Tommy Nobis today. This is the date we lost him. Mr. Falcon. Anyway, coming up, we are going to go around the league, give you our final thoughts before we turn things over to Nick Cale. He's coming on at 9 o'clock. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 again, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Hey, man. Listen, I apologize. I was just couldn't hear you, and we were having some technical issues, but I'm glad you are back because I didn't mean to, like, roll over you there because I know there's some questions you wanted to ask Archer, too.
Yeah, he's always great when he gets some time to join us. And like you said, normally he's hearing us on his way to the stadium for the game, but a little different today. So glad to have him on board. Always great to have him on board.
Before we go around the league,
Glad you asked him the question. Glad you asked about Iowa State apparently being snubbed or being left out of the equation as far as the playoff goes. You know,
it doesn't matter.
I'm glad you asked him about that.
You know, but here's the thing: it's a waste of time because, again, this is all about a TV show. When it comes down to it, that's all it is. It's all about a TV show. It's how many people they can get watching the playoffs and the national championship game, keep their sponsors happy for the money they lost. Let's just come out and say it. We've been calling it a money grab all year, and other people have been calling it that, what's going on in college football. But at the end of the day, it comes down to the TV shows, the two TV shows and then the one TV show that they're going to put on. And it's maddening the way I guess it's the fact that we got to watch them make the sausage. That's the problem. If we didn't get a chance to make them watch the sausage like every year, we wouldn't matter. But we got to watch them make it this year, and we didn't like the way they did it.
Yeah. So that's true. That's true. The other thing is, I just think that they say, you know what? They got some football, meaning us. We got some football to watch. That's what we wanted. Aren't you satisfied that you got the football and let us handle this the way we want to handle it? I mean, it's not the way it's supposed to be done in an ordinary year, but considering what we're dealing with this year, what everybody's dealing with, and I think a lot of people would agree, we were glad to see football this fall, even though it was felt weird and strange and the piped in crowd noise stuff. But I mean, you know, it's better than having no football.
Yeah, but you know what? The anger and the visceral responses that people are having to – I'm sitting here shaking my hands right now as I'm saying this – that people are having toward the decisions that are being made as to who's going to play in this bowl game or that bowl game or if they're even going to have a bowl game. Was it worth it? Now, to me – I don't care one way or the other because go to a school that plays big-time football. I like college football. I love the fact that we get to talk about it because this is what we do. But at the end of the day, there's no one particular school that I'm sad that is not ascending to a bowl game and obviously to the playoffs. But the way they went about this year, as I said, we got to watch them make the sausage, and it was maddening. Especially if you're one of those teams. Listen, here's all you need to know. How long have we been talking college football this season? How many weeks would you say? 8, 9, 10 weeks? Something like that?
Yeah, probably 10 or 12 weeks.
Okay, I lost Sam again. I wasn't sure. Thank you. How often have we mentioned Pac-12?
Not a lot.
There you go. How often do we even mention Big 12?
Not a lot.
See, I'm just saying. Think about that. It's like when we were kids, if you didn't have like 9 players to play a full game, you had like 5 guys. Just like if you had 10 people total, so you had 5 on each team, we would play second base over. In other words, we would eliminate one of the fields because we just didn't have enough players. That's what I've been thinking about that all college football season. Because it's as if some of these teams – I mean, we spent some time today talking about USC and UCLA, but that's probably the first time I can remember us talking about it. We haven't mentioned – but we mentioned Herb, you know, what happened with Kevin Sumlin getting fired after Arizona loses to Arizona State.
Yeah.
But that's about it. It's like a half a season or half the participants are the only ones that's important in this college football season. It seems that way at least. That's what I'm saying.
I just wonder if
– well, you know
– go ahead, Sam. You're on.
I was going to say it seemed like everyone was expecting a lot from the SEC and the ACC, and they were the ones that were pulling things along from the beginning. Big 12, if it's Oklahoma or Texas, and we know who they're looking for out of Ohio State, but it seems like anywhere else you had to come out – the team from the West Coast had to come out and just blow the doors off everybody, and that didn't happen. You know, so, I mean, yeah, we kind of threw that out. Who's going to be the team that's going to just dominate the league? Is it going to be Washington? Is it going to be Oregon? Or is it going to be nobody? Now, Southern Cal's undefeated, but, I mean, you ain't bringing them into the equation to talk about them at all. I mean, it's
– But look what had to happen. For you to pay attention to what was going on out west, you had to have a BYU team travel to Coastal Carolina. Then I was like enlightened to what was going on at BYU. But it took that trip for me to figure out, oh, yeah, these guys, I guess these guys are pretty good out there.
On a week's notice.
So, this has been, again, just the silliest season. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Normally, we're the opening act for a wrap-up right to kickoff with the Falcons, but they are on the West Coast. We just talked to David Archer. Him and Wes Dorm are going to make the call today, do the call, I should say, at 4 o'clock. Falcons and Chargers. So we push back, Wade for a tailgate show, countdown to kickoff. Following us is Nick Kale. He's going to be on from 9 until noon. He will probably talk more about this college football season, the games that took place, the Falcons, NFL. He'll go all around the spectrum. But as we sit back and talk about some of these games today, is there anything other than the Falcons that you're keeping an eye on, Sam?
Man, this Chiefs-Dolphins game. Where the heck did the Dolphins come from? All of a sudden, at 8-4, and they could be a dangerous playoff team. And so they got the Chiefs today, and I think that's the game that a lot of people will be watching, kind of see if the Chiefs would be kind of an acid test, if you will, for these Dolphins to see if the – I mean, last week they had a big brawl, the Fighting Finns last week. So I'm curious to see if they can bring that back this week.
The change in Philly? I never really thought all that much of Carson Wentz anyway. And again, when it came to the big games, he wasn't there for him. He was hurt. They've made the change in Philly. Hurts, do you see him keeping that job, man?
I don't know if he keeps it, but he has it now. It's all in what he does with it. I mean, he's kind of thrown into it. I don't know if you want to throw him into the job. You want to see him ascend to it. But either way, he's there, and he's on, and let's see what he gives him today.
You got Arizona at New York, Minnesota, Tampa Bay. I was going to ask David if wanted to get his thoughts on the division. And listen, the change has been made. Drew Brees got hurt. At the time of that, these guys had the bye week, meaning the Saints. Now I'm not sure. And is it a clear-cut case of them hanging on for the division? Well, the numbers say yeah, but do you see them or do you see Tampa Bay riding the ship?
I don't know if Tampa Bay rides the ship. I just got a bitter taste by the way the Falcons lost to a gadget quarterback. You know, you paid money for a guy in Jameis to come down and be your backup, and you don't even put him on the field. You know, you put in a gadget guy who can put in a he's a return of Joe Morrison. Or Ken Whisenhunt, or somebody, you just line him up anywhere on the field, and he goes out, he beats you not once but twice, and then that's the thing that
you sound like you're mad because they didn't.
Let me think of that. I wanted Jameis to come out there and throw them interceptions, man, but you know, we didn't get to do that. So I mean, I think the Saints are in good shape. They're doing what they're doing as far as the division goes. I don't know if Tampa Bay can catch him or not. I think we got a Sunday night game that's worth paying attention to, Bills and Steelers. Steelers lost the game, so you don't have that pressure of trying to remain undefeated. Now they can just go out and play football. And so I think we're in for a pretty good Sunday night game with the Steelers and the Bills.
Well, you better tell people where to watch it because that's going to be a problem, ain't it?
Yes, it will. I think I watched it last week on like Telemundo or somewhere last week. I think I found this game last week. I think, you know, it's where I found it. But I don't know where other people may find the Sunday night game tonight.
NBC is still – well, listen, if you have DirecTV, that's the only problem. If you got DirecTV, you're going to have a problem getting anything connected with NBC. And I went to the NBC app and tried it. And the fact that they had to pipe it through a DirecTV connection, we couldn't get it. Couldn't get it. So you're right. I might have to go to Telemundo and try to find. Except the channel I went to, I think it was 410, something like that. It was all in Spanish, and I couldn't switch it back to English. So did you sit and watch the game with the Spanish call? No,
it was in – yeah, yes, I did. I didn't watch the whole game with it, but yeah, that's where it was. That's where I could see it. That's where I went. You know, I don't know what people did for Saturday Night Live last night. Unless they went on Peacock. They went on the app, went on Peacock, and maybe watched it on there.
I can't tell you the last time I saw Saturday Night Live. Dave Chappelle, when he was on. Okay. But, I mean, from the beginning, we tape it. It's on tape, so I catch it the next morning. But, yeah, that's not – they ain't must-see viewing the way it used to be. There were two people who I was waiting to see on Saturday Night Live, and they kind of disappointed. And it's when Eddie Murphy came back. And
oh, that's been some years. That's been some years.
No, man. No, he was on just last year. Last season, was it? At the end of the season? I think it was the last show, or it might have been the first show. I don't watch it that much. But that was, and then Dave Chappelle, once you get past his stand-up, he can't be Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live. I mean, he can be funny.
He can't be Chappelle show on Saturday
he can't
Night
be,
Live.
Yeah, he can't be full Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live. So,
okay, well, you know that when you tune in.
But the stand-up was still good. He made his points there. But, I mean, as far as the skits and all that other stuff, nah. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Throughout the show, we talked about a couple things I want to remind you about. And one was the casting call that's up on our hopefully will be on our website either later today or tomorrow. But if you have any questions about the jobs in front of or behind the cameras, greg.clarksonintercom.com. Mr. Crenshaw, we had talked to Rick Limpert earlier about the sports tech items that are out now for the holidays. Rick is, what do you like to say? Rick is social. And he's got his website, so you can see.
He is social on Twitter @RickRoswell. And man, he has a lot of high tech things that'll be great for the not just as a sports fan, but the active sports fan. If you're someone who's active in sports, likes to get up off the couch, and he's got some nice last minute gift ideas there.
Also, want to thank Ken Roundtree, our producer, jumped in and helped us out with a couple topics that we had. College football, obviously, big Georgia fan. So I want to thank Ken. I want to thank David Archer. And Mr. Crenshaw, have yourself a wonderful week.
You do too, and stay safe.
Yes, enjoy today's games. But up next, Nick Kale. It's going to take 9 until noon. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Jingle bell time, dancing and
prancing in Jingle Bell Square. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.